Sportscast, February 3rd, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, YouTube, iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible. Download the Bible for iPhone and share a verse to the world. Super Bowl LIV is now officially in the books. The Kansas City Chiefs defeated the San Francisco 49ers by a score of 31-20 in Miami on Sunday. Patrick Mahomes orchestrated an incredible come-from-behind victory as the Chiefs trailed by 10 points with 6 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, yet flipped the script to win by 11 points. And joining us to talk to us a little bit about football and the Super Bowl, the one and only Kailu Borden. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you. Appreciate it, as always.
Kailu, it was a tremendous Super Bowl. At one point, I thought the 49ers were going to win it. But the Chiefs have come back 3 games in a row. Kailu, what were your deep analysis over the Super Bowl?
I thought it was really good. I think outside of the George Kittle play, I thought it was really well officiated. I thought one of the takeaways in this big game is always with the Bill Belichick. Obviously, last year had the infamous blown NFC Championship game, in which the Saints should have been awarded pass interference. I thought from that standpoint, it was really, really officiated. The Chiefs 31-20, as you said. I felt like the Niners, the moment was too big for them. Kyle Shanahan could have called timeout with 1:47 left in the second quarter. I feel like that drive for me was really wasted opportunity. They end up getting the ball after 25 or 59 seconds left. Obviously, I felt like that was a blown opportunity for them. They could have got the ball back in that drive. They ended up getting the ball. They had the Kelce play. They end up completing the pass to Kelce, but it was called. But I didn't think it was pass interference. I didn't think it was offensive pass interference, but it's a bang-bang play. I thought he got a slight, wasn't enough for me to call pass interference. But other than that, I felt like this was a really officiated game. Jimmy Garoppolo was really great in the first half, 9 of 11 in the first half. Patrick Mahomes is 10 of 16, 141 yards, 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And he just really took over in the first half. He was 12 of 18, 104 yards, at 81.7 passer rating. In the second half, 14 for 24, 182 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. They just, when they got the interception against Patrick Mahomes, that was really a bad read. They just couldn't take advantage of that. Kansas City had 135 total yards at halftime. They were 1 for 6 on third down, 2 for 2 on fourth down, which I felt like they made 2 huge fourth down completions. One with Patrick Mahomes ran for a first down. That was huge. They had 3 points off the turnovers. San Francisco had 177 total yards at half, 2 for 3 on third down. And I really felt like the Chiefs' defense has been very underrated. By half in this playoffs, in the first half, they have allowed 51 points, 24 in the second half. Total yards allowed by the Chiefs' defense by half, 600 in the first half, 488 in the second. Opponents on third down in the first half against the Chiefs this playoffs, 43.8 in the second half, 23.5. Passer rating, 112.5 to 78.5 in the second half, and 8-1 in sacks. I feel like they really did a great job in the second half. The first 6 drives for the Niners, they had 20 points, 292 yards, 7.9 yards of play, 18 first downs. And the last 4 drives for the Niners, 3 first downs, 3.5 yards of play, 59 total yards, and 0 points. Jimmy Garoppolo in the fourth quarter, 3 of 11. This doesn't take away from what he did the entire year, but in the fourth quarter, the moment just got too big for him. Even the moment just got too big for him. There were plays where he missed Sanders wide open. He missed a ton of throws. This doesn't take away from anything he did this year. Niners fans shouldn't have anything, but the moment was clearly too big for him. 3 of 11, 36 yards, and an interception in the fourth quarter.
Now, Kailu, obviously the 49ers lost, but why didn't the 49ers learn from the past games when the Chiefs played against the Tennessee Titans or the Houston Texans? You saw how those two teams went ahead, 10, 27 points. Why didn't the Niners, learn from that?
I think it had to do with a lot of reasons. I feel like Kyle Shanahan, obviously from the 28-3, I feel like learning from the offensive coordinator and the Falcons, made a lot to do with that. And it's somewhat right. I probably, even though he's an offensive guru, the one thing that always comes down to these games, I feel like they were hesitant whether they wanted to run the ball, they wanted to bat. At times, they wanted Jimmy G to be the hero, and at times, they didn't know what they wanted to run. There were opportunities for them in the first half. They mismanaged their timeouts. I thought they did mismanage their timeouts in the first half. The moment, like, I feel like the moment just got too big for Kyle Shanahan. I feel like they really learned a lot. I feel like they could have learned more from the other previous teams. But Patrick Mahomes is great. I feel like their defense is so great the first three quarters. It's just like when you're on the field a lot and when you think Patrick Mahomes is the first quarterback in the history of things. Teams that trail in the playoffs was 66-138 in playoff games when they trail by 10 points. Patrick Mahomes is now the only quarterback in the history of the NFL to have to be 3-1 when trailing by plus 10 points in the playoffs. And I feel like they just really, like, the Niners defense for most of this game, like, they were really, really strong. But when Jimmy Garoppolo needed to make plays, he just couldn't make plays. Obviously, in the Super Bowl, they came back, the Chiefs, 31-20 by 10 points. They did an AFC Championship game. They did in the divisional round. Jimmy Garoppolo, 20-24, no pressure, 219 yards and a touchdown. When he was under pressure, 0-for-7, 0 yards, and 2 interceptions. When you really got pressure against Jimmy Garoppolo, it really showed. Patrick Mahomes, 135 rushing yards. This is his second most all-time by a quarterback in the history of Super Bowl. Joe Montana's at 144 in 1988. Steve Young, 120 in 94. Patrick Mahomes had 88.3 quarterback rating, 12 touchdowns, 12 passing touchdowns, and combined rushing touchdowns and passing touchdowns. This playoffs, it's the most by a quarterback in the Super Bowl. I mean, he just was really, really good. He's the first. This sports, like, in MVPs and winning the Super Bowl or the Stanley Cup and the championship for turning 25. Kareem did it in 1970-71. Wayne Gretzky did it in 1983 and 84. And Willie Mays also did that. I just feel like Patrick Mahomes was just, like, really, really strong in this game. And, like, they did a really good job. And Eric Fisher had really trouble. I think I saw the stat. It was, like, 12 hurries he's allowed. And I think they did a really, really good job for Patrick Mahomes for 52 minutes. And then, like you said earlier, Patrick Mahomes is brilliant. He was on display. And that last play where he threw that throw to that last play on 3rd and 15, that was just a beautiful throw by Patrick Mahomes. That was a huge spot in the game. And I just felt like that was a beautiful throw by Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, they were trailing by 10 points, and that was a huge drive for them. It was a 7-play, 65-yard drive, and that was just a really huge play for them. They really need – actually, it was a 10-play, 83-yard drive. But that was just a huge drive. I'm talking about the play on 3rd and 15, 7-13 in the fourth. Patrick Mahomes deep pass to Tyreek Hill for 44 yards. Obviously, in that situation, they really needed that play. In that situation, you're trailing, there's only 7 minutes left, and you know Kansas City, if they get the ball 7 minutes left and they're up by 10, they're going to look to ground and pound. So, obviously, being able to get a touchdown, 10 plays, 83 yards, 2:40, being able to get a touchdown that drive, I felt like that 3rd and 15 was a really, really huge for Kansas City in turning the momentum their way.
Patrick Mahomes, only 24 years old, Kailu. Would you name him right now one of the greats?
In terms of one of the greats, I think there's more to be done for Patrick Mahomes. I think he's definitely among one of the greats. And this is, like, for Andy Reid, like, this is really good for him. But going back to Patrick Mahomes, we'll talk about that in a few. But I think that this is really huge to Patrick Mahomes. Winning the Super Bowl before the age of 25 and winning the MVP, those are really two huge accomplishments. He came back from 10 points in this game. He came back from 10 in the AFC Championship game. He came back from 24. I've been really impressed with his leadership. Obviously, we know a lot about his talent. But for me, in that game, when they were down 24-0 and you're seeing them on the sidelines, everybody thinks every quarterback is the leader. And sometimes they get forced into position. They're not always the leader. But Patrick Mahomes, like, he's really talented, but he's also very good as a leader. And there is a moment in the AFC divisional round when they're down 24-0 against the Texans, and you can see him hyping up and showing a lot of emotion. And I feel like that was really huge to them, because at the time the Chiefs are going, here we go again. We have this really good record. We have a really good seed. Andy Reid, you know, with the winning, he's now over 500 in the playoffs. So I think that was a really huge moment for them. I think that Patrick Mahomes is really going to be a Hall of Famer. I think that, you know, early stage in his career, I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer still early, pending, you know, dirt. And he's going to be. But I think there's still more work to be done. And I still think that he can win more Super Bowls. But Andy I don't Reid. Think it's guaranteed because
22 I don't years think coaching.
Guaranteed. Yeah.
Finish your thought. Sorry about that. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah, I don't think nothing is guaranteed because although he's young, like they always say, like you're not guaranteed to get back to the Super Bowl. So I think he's gonna get back, but I will also say like there's no guarantee because teams get better. We saw with the Niners, they were 4-12. Now it's Sunday in the Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes' contract, and now you're not gonna be able to go out there and get other players, and you may have a down year. You may not be as healthy and get a good seed. Your division may get better sooner than you think.
Yeah, we'll get back to Andy Reid for a bit, but let's get back to Jimmy Garoppolo. Where do you stand with him? Obviously, people are saying that he's not going to be the greatest or one of the elite, like the Bradys and you know, perhaps Mahomes. Where do you see Garoppolo's future?
I think, obviously, you got the contract with Garoppolo. So I think, obviously, he had a good season. This is a really bad moment for him. I think at the biggest stage in his career, he missed a lot of throws, throwing a game-winning interception to Deebo Samuel. On that same thing, he missed on that same drive, he missed plays to think. So obviously missing Sanders. Where do I see Jimmy Garoppolo? I think they got to keep him. I think there's a certain kind of offense. He's more of a rhythm bouncer. And when they took away the running game, it looked a thing because they had a couple gadget plays, even though they were effective running the ball. I feel like Kansas City did get enough no gain yard plays to be able to offset that. So they had a couple gadget plays. In terms of like where did I see Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, let's face it, like he had a D-plus game, and I wanted to give him an F, but they did have a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. It wasn't his best moment. He went 20 of 31, 1 of 9 sacks, 40.6% quarterback rating, 20 of 24, no pressure, over 7 with pressure. He was 3 of 11 in the fourth quarter. It was just a really bad moment. Obviously, they're going to bring it. They're on a contract with him. They got to have a system. I think he's a quarterback that needs all the pieces around him to be great. He needs all the pieces around him to be above average, his tight ends, his skill positions, his defense. So I definitely think they need to keep that. I mean, he's locked in his contract. Where do they go from here? I mean, I think you can still win with that type of quarterback, but you saw the difference between great and good yesterday. Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback, and Jimmy Garoppolo is just not on that level.
Tyreek Hill had 105 yards. Were the Niners able to contain him?
The Niners were not able to contain him. I felt like their whole game plan, he had 44-yard long. But other than that, for the most part, I think they were able to contain him. Where they have more problems, I didn't feel like they did a good job on Sammy Watkins. And I feel like the Niners, for 52 minutes, played exceptional defense. They were getting a lot of pressure on Eric Fisher. He really struggled with that guy tonight. The left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, he really struggled. And, like, Nick Bosa and them were getting good pressure. But against Patrick Mahomes, it's really tough to hold him down. And for most of the game, they had baited Patrick Mahomes in the turnover. I just felt like it had more to do with Kansas City relentless. Patrick Mahomes just keep coming after him at 3rd and 15, him just being special, and more to do with the Niners. If you can't – the defense, I've always said, like, even with great defenses in 2020, your defense could only do so much. If you're always on the field and you're losing time of possession 33-13 to 26-47, and you're losing it by almost, let's say, like six minutes, your defense could only do so much. If you're always on the field and you're always going 3 and out, your defense can only do so much. They're going to wear out. A great offense and those legion of doom that they have with Watkins, Hill, Kelsey, and those weapons, and Harmon, even though he only had 2 yards, with those weapons that Kansas City has at their disposal, that defense can only do so much.
Damian Williams, another star of the show, 104 yards. We didn't see him much in the past two games, but he came through in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I feel like he had that. I feel like he had a couple solid runs, and that 38-yard run then the game was just a capper and the steal of touches, 2 plays, 42 yards, ran up the middle for 38 yards, and that capped off the Super Bowl for them.
Richard Sherman, how'd you think he do? Did.
Richard Sherman, I was not impressed with Richard Sherman, but I did feel like Richard Sherman, I think it's very tough to see. I think it's very tough for Richard Sherman because he's an older corner and he needs a system around him. He's a great player. But at this stage in his career, he's only good. And I don't want to make – Richard Sherman did get burned a couple of times, but I think it more had to do with Tyreek Hill. A lot of people make a lot to do with how Richard Sherman got burned. He took a couple poor technique routes that he could have been better at. If Tyreek Hill runs a 4.3, Tyreek Hill's in the prime of his career. Richard Sherman's close to the end of his career. Sammy Watkins is the number three option on his team. Travis Kelce is the best tight end in football. And you got Patrick Mahomes making a bunch of off plays. So I feel like Richard Sherman, he didn't have a good game, but it's also, I'm not going to kill him either, because that speed that the Kansas City Chiefs is throwing out there, it's a lot.
What'd you think? How did Nick Bosa do?
I thought Nick Bosa played a really good game. He had five tackles, a sack, and a tackle for a loss. But I feel like he really played a great game. In the first half, I feel like he was the only one really creating the pressure. I feel like he had a really, really good game. I just felt like with defensive linemen, they always say, as the game goes on, and a mobile quarterback with Patrick Mahomes, I just feel like as the game goes on, the more snaps are on the field, even though they're all conditioned, as the game goes on, defensive linemen with that body weight at that size, no matter how hard you train, no matter what you do, those guys start to wear down. And especially when your offense doesn't score, your offense doesn't score in the fourth quarter, your defense is going to start wearing down. Even if you have a great, 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 great defense, now, there's going to be no defense that's going to be the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens. So, you're going to need to score points. And although they had a really good game plan for 52 minutes, you're going to need your quarterback to make plays. And one play that stuck out to me was that 3rd and 5 play that Jimmy Garoppolo just didn't make. He just didn't make it. 3rd and 5, 5:23, after Kansas City scores a touchdown, fast incomplete. I mean, that was just thing. And obviously, going back on the field, that eventually led to the Damian Williams touchdown a few drives later. And I feel like eventually your defense, if they're constantly on the field, they're going to start to wear it down no matter how great they are. You're not going to play 85 Bears defense in 2020 and hope people to 10 points a game and crazy numbers like that. That's just not going to happen with a Patrick Mahomes-led offense, which is really explosive and dynamic as they have been throughout this whole playoffs.
Andy Reid, is his legacy complete?
I think he was going to get in the Hall of Fame throughout, but I think that this is really huge for Andy Reid. The first Super Bowl in 50 years. Obviously, in his first season in Kansas City, he 11-5. I feel like this is really huge. He's not over 500 as a thing. He has the most wins by a head coach with our Super Bowl prior. So I think he was getting in the Hall of Fame no matter what. But this is huge for him because he had some trouble with clock management. 3 straight conference championships from 2001 to 2003, a 3-point loss in the Super Bowl. He's in ridicule for clock management. This is really huge for him. 207 wins in the regular season, 128 losses, 1 tie, 15-14 on the playoffs. This is really huge for Andy Reid. Andy Reid, 21 seasons before this thing, no Super Bowl. Bill Cowher went 14 with the Steelers in 2005. Tom Coughlin, 12 in 2007. And Tom Landry in 1971 with 12. This is really huge for Andy Reid. I think this cements his legacy. I think that this really, really helps his legacy. I think he's going to get in the Super Bowl no matter – I think he was going to get in the Hall of Fame no matter what. But obviously having that Super Bowl attached to his name, this is, really huge. And in a way, I compared to Ed Orgeron. Remember Ed Orgeron at LSU was never able to get over the hump in 2011 beating Alabama, and how they both coaches have been able to persevere and be the best team in their respective sports. I think about those two similar journeys, and I think about how they align and how they were able to both, overcome big games and win those games.
Yeah, I think Andy Reid definitely needed this, cherry on top. And like you were saying, he was going to be a Hall of Famer anyways, but he needed that Super Bowl ring. And I can see Kansas City, obviously, in the NFL, it's so difficult to win back-to-back or become a dynasty just like the Patriots. But I could see this KC team winning 1 or 2 more championships with this team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I could definitely see it, if they stay healthy. But, you're going to have to play at Patrick Mahomes. I definitely will see them winning another 1 or 2 rings. But I also think, you're going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes this offseason, and you're not going to afford some of your players. You got health. You also got to have health. You also got to get a bye. I also think there's a lot of benefits. But you're right. I agree. Andy Reid's going to be coaching for another 10, 15 years, he's not going to slow down. I think they could definitely win another 1 or 2 rings. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Is the San Francisco 49ers the future of the NFC?
I think it's very tough because I think it's going to be hard. We saw with the Rams, like the Rams are just a runner-up prior to the Niners winning this year. They struggled against the Arizona Cardinals, and as long as they get better, I think that's true. Seattle's going to be tough with Russell Wilson. They still have Russell Wilson. They're still going to be good for 9-10 wins every year. So, and then I think the LA Rams are going to make an improvement. They struggled against Arizona and Cliff Kingsbury. So they're in a tough division. I think that's the best division in football right now. I think it's going to be tough. Also, outside of your division, you're still dealing with Green Bay. We'll see if Drew Brees retires. I think maybe Dallas takes a step forward. Maybe they win their division. Maybe the Eagles more healthy. They get younger players in their roster. They're not relying on older players in their roster. Maybe Howie Roseman relies on younger talent. I know they brought back most of their core from the Super Bowl, but now it's really time for them to get younger. So I think there are definitely other factors that they can't. Their division's tough. And I always say in the NFC, there's no guarantee because you're dealing with Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Your division's tough. You still have, maybe you have to go through Dallas. Maybe you don't have that good health that you did. And also being in a Super Bowl runner-up, some of your players are going to leave because more money. They're going to want more money. They're going to want to go to a lesser team. So you got to factor in your division, who leaves you. Maybe you don't have the health that you did. They didn't have great health this year. They had some injuries. Or maybe you don't have as good health yet this year. You don't get that bye. All of a sudden, you're playing in another game. So I definitely think their division, along with their outside competitive factors and their health. So we'll see what the Niners.
Of course, the future of these two teams, young, well, not young coaches, one young coach, one Andy Reid could go for a few more years. But the Super Bowl was really good. It reminded me of the Patriots game against the Super Bowl with the Patriots against Atlanta Falcons, where, you know, the Patriots were down by, I think, 27 points or so, and they came back and won it. This is very similar. Obviously, the gap was just 10 points, which it is a lot in the NFL anyways. But it was a very good Super Bowl. Mahomes really deserved it. Kansas City, you know, when Mahomes had that injury back in November, I thought that was it. I thought, okay, maybe not like as bad injury like out of the season, but I thought it would have taken a toll for the season, maybe wait till next year. But no, he came back and he just, you know, had home field advantage last minute because of the Miami Dolphins win. So it was kind of how things kind of lined up for them. And of course, being down 27-3 against the Texans, I thought that was over, but it wasn't. And of course, Tennessee's momentum, you thought maybe Tennessee might have a chance. Kansas City, probably underdog for most of the like these games in the first three quarters, came back and they just had the firepower, not afraid to be down with how many touchdowns or like how many points. But we say congrats to Kansas City Chiefs, finally their first win since 1969. Great ownership, great team, great base of fans. Really, really glad they've done well. Well, let's turn into this next segment of the show. Kobe Bryant, of course, we've been reminiscing for him for the past week. But Kailu Borden is a very much of a Kobe fan and also a Laker fan. And, of course, Kobe died a week ago yesterday in a helicopter crash with 11 to 12 other victims in the chopper. But Kailu, you know, obviously you weren't in the sportscast this past week, but, you know, can you tell us your thoughts and the whole thing with Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, when I first got the news, like, I was, like, shopping, like, a typical slow Sunday, and, like, I checked my phone, and, like, I see, like, Kobe Bryant, like, passed away, like, 2:24, and, like, you get the TMZ report, and obviously, like, they had the Michael Jackson death, and, like, you go through it, and, like, you don't want to believe in the moment. You can't believe, like, this is real, and, like, there's so many, like, reports going through, like, Twitter, like, Gianna died, this thing. And, like, it just goes to, like, show you, like, the precious life. And, like the pilot had over 8,000 in experience. Kawhi Leonard, that was Kawhi Leonard's also pilot. I also, like, read about that. That was Kawhi Leonard's pilot. And, like, seeing the amount of support, seeing the amount of teams that took a shot clock violation, whether it was 8 seconds or a backcourt violation from UConn, woman, to all the NBA teams that participated, seeing all the tributes, seeing all the amount of support from presidents to Neymar, seeing so much people go through roller coasters, Kyrie can play through thing, which I totally respect, Carmelo, like seeing all the support that Kobe Bryant's getting, seeing all like the tributes that Vanessa, they're going to take the memorial down and put that and mail to her house. So like seeing the amount of support and seeing the amount of love and like Kobe Bryant was like so much more than a basketball player. Like he scored 33,643 career points, but he's so much more than that. He was a mentor to children. He had the Mamba Academy. He had the Mamba Studios in Thousand Oaks, California. He was on his way to a basketball game. He was so much of the women's game at a time where, you know, a lot of athletes support the women's game. They tweet about it, but like they don't actually form the relationships with it. He was very important, like in youth. Like he did a lot with the youth. Like he was very important high school players, Mamba mentality. That really meant a lot to me because like it teaches you to work hard, even when you're not feeling your best, even when you don't want to do certain things, to like push through it and to like show fight and like to always give it your best stuff. And like everybody always has their own Kobe story. Everybody used to yell Kobe at the park when shooting in the trash can. So that was obviously, you know, huge seeing that also. And like Kobe like really just meant a lot to so much people. Like he supported the women's game. He won a freaking Oscar, and like it's so rare for an athlete to be just as successful and post their career with NFL, NBA. They normally struggle with their second career because you're retiring so young at 35, which is so young in typical life. It's so young, so like they often struggle. He was just getting started. He won an Oscar, and like seeing that he was on a plane, seeing that he was on a pilot with his daughter, and then like seeing the images of it, and I had to stop at image 3 because it was just so a lot. Like seeing images of the plane, seeing the image of the helicopter on fire was just really like sad. And like his wife and like the Lakers community, I feel like they did a really good job with the tribute Friday night against the Blazers. They did the perfect decision by canceling the game against the Clippers. That was just the right call. Like seeing LeBron just go through so much pain, seeing the amount of Laker players as they're getting off the runway and they find out about the news. It was just really like tough. And like seeing Charlie Freeman and Wes Khalifa at halftime, that was really neat. Seeing what UConn did, leaving flowers on a thing. That was the Lakers did a, you know, really good tribute. The highlights is good. Seeing what CNT, seeing what Shaq did, seeing all the reactions with Jerry West, seeing how Maria Taylor did a phenomenal job. She did a phenomenal job hosting ESPN's coverage of it Sunday in a 5-man thing. That was great. Seeing TNT, seeing the amount of support and the love that Kobe Bryant got, and seeing that 60-point game, reliving that 60-point game that Utah did, they did on ESPN, seeing all the games on NBA TV, and it was 4 days removed from 81-point game. It just was really, really, was really, really sad.
Yeah, definitely, Kalu. You know, Kobe Bryant was a huge impact, not just in basketball or in the NBA, but across other sports in the NFL. Like yesterday in the Super Bowl, they did a memorial right before the game started. I think they were meeting at the 24-yard line. And they presented it in the screens as well. But yeah, it's something to definitely, you know, be accounted for. And L.A. is planning a memorial service at the L.A. Coliseum. I believe the date has not been yet set. They wanted to do it at the Staples Center, but it's going to be bigger because Kobe had so much impact in L.A. itself. So beloved.
How do you think – question for you. How do you think they should best honor Kobe? Because I have a lot of solutions. I know, like, I didn't get into it, but, like, how do you think they should best honor Kobe? You think they – I know I heard a lot about changing the logo. Are you on board with that? I heard a lot about the All-Star games. That formula was really interesting to me. It was actually different. I had to read it a couple of times because, like, it was obviously different. I heard a lot about they should retire 8 and 24-round basketball. So how do you think they should best honor Kobe going
you
forward
mean,
to keep that up?
You mean having NBA, you know, having some type of like, you know, naming like the MVP, like the Kobe Bryant MVP award or something like that.
How do you think they should?
I have not thought about that. I have not thought about that. The logo is not a bad idea. What are your thoughts?
I think I have a couple ideas. I know I saw this on Golic and Wingo, the Mamba mentality. That should become the Most Improved Award. I think that would be really good for things in terms of that's one suggestion that the NBA can do. I think we retire 8 and 24 around every team. I know Mark Cuban did it. And here's why I would suggest doing that. Because I've never seen an NBA player die this tragedy at so young in life. You think about the NBA, and we still got Bill Russell, we still got Kareem, and the only other former MVPs that we have dead is Moses Malone and Wilt Chamberlain. And those guys were, you know, in their 60s, so you could say that's close to thing. They lived, like, most of their life. Obviously, it sucks dying, but, like, they lived most of their life. Yeah. But, like, we've never had a player of this magnitude die this early. And I think the NBA would be best to retire the numbers. Obviously, continue the mentality. I think that would be great.
Yeah, like every team should retire the number 24, I think.
I think that would be a start. 8-24. Yeah, I think 8-24. I think 8-24 makes sense. The logo makes sense because Jerry West drafted Kobe Bryant. Having that logo. And a lot of people are concerned that you'll be changing the logo every 5 years. I don't think that'll be the case because NBA players really don't die that young. Like, you look at life, they live most of their life. We still have Bill Russell. We still have Kareem. NBA players, really, for the most part, NBA players don't die, you know, young. We still have Jordan. And obviously, you're not going to just go around and retire thing. It's got to be a significant thing. So I think they could change the logo to Kobe Bryant. 8-24. I think they can name, in terms of what the Lakers can do, I think the Lakers can name the practice facility. I think the Lakers can name some streets after Kobe Bryant. They can name some streets after Kobe Bryant in and around the practice facility. I think they can do that. On August 23rd, they can continue to show Kobe Bryant videos in games during commercials. I think they can do that. On that weekend of August 23rd, August 24th, August 24th can be Kobe Bryant Day. I know they talked about that in L.A. If it's a weekend, that could be Kobe Bryant's day. His birthday is August 23rd. August 24th, you can have Kobe Bryant Day. It's 8-24, both his jerseys. You can have some type of thing. You can donate to charity then. You can have that. You can rename some streets after Kobe Bryant. You can have the patches on the court or with 8-24 during Laker games. You can do that. You can continue to wear the patches on the jerseys. You could continue to show support to Vanessa. That's obviously not thing, but you could continue stick with that. And I think another way they can think about supporting Kobe is immediate statue. What the Hall of Fame can do is immediately put him in the Hall of Fame this year, which they're gonna do.
Yeah, for sure, having a statue in the Hall of Fame. And I think they were the Lakers were already gonna plant a statue in front of the Staples Center. I believe. I mean, that was coming anyways. But definitely a lot has to be done. And I compare Kobe to something Steve Jobs or Elvis Presley, who had a successful young life but died early. And, of course, Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest, maybe up there with Michael Jordan. Obviously, it's debatable for some people. But, yeah, we'll for sure keep in mind what's going to happen. And we'll, guys, keep you up to date what's going to happen with L.A. Hopefully they'll plan the memorial service soon. At the LA Coliseum, I know there'll be a packed crowd. Definitely gonna see some stars there, like Shaq or LeBron James and things like that. But anyways, anything else before we head into predictions?
Oh, we can get into the NFL honors if we want.
Well, there's no time for that, but for the next show, we will. Okay.
All right. Sure. All right.
Let's go to NBA predictions. The Knicks at Cleveland.
That game. I think if the Knicks don't win that game, I mean, they're thinking about trading a lot of players. If the Knicks can't beat Cleveland, I mean, I would take the Knicks. I mean, I mean, they're on the road. But, I would take the Knicks. But if they can't win that game, they're not going to, So I would take the Knicks.
Celtics at the Hawks.
I'm definitely going to take the Celtics. The Hawks don't play any defense, so the Celtics should have no problem winning that game.
Sixers at the Heat.
I'm gonna that game is gonna be very interesting. Where is that game at, by the way?
In Miami.
It's in Miami. The Sixers don't really play well on the road. I'm gonna go with Miami. The Sixers don't really play well on the road. They're 31-19, but they do a lot of winning at home. So they're definitely a better home team. So I'm definitely gonna go with Miami at home.
Spurs at the Clippers.
Where's that game at?
In L.A., Staples Center.
I'm going to go with the Clippers.
And random question, what is your favorite Muppet movie? The Muppet Movie, Muppets Christmas Carol, Muppet Treasure Island, or Muppets Take Manhattan?
Christmas Carol,
which I believe they are winning 50%. And the other movies are tied for 16.7%. So Christmas Carol is winning it by far. You only got a few more hours to vote on your favorite Muppets movie. And what was your favorite Super Bowl commercial? yesterday?
I'm actually really not a fan of Super Bowl commercials. Like, for the most part, in a Super Bowl commercial, I use the time to, like, just, like, go eat some pizza and, like, catch up on something. Like, I'm not really, like, a Super Bowl advertiser. Occasionally, I see them. But, like, I was more impressed with, like, the halftime show. I feel like that did a really good job for the first time in a couple of years. So, that was, like, really good to see. But, like, I'm not really a big, like, Super Bowl advertiser. For me, I've always felt like they're either trying, like, too hard, or, like, they spend a lot of money for your Super Bowl commercials. And sometimes I don't really like, not a fan, like, the quality. I feel like the moment with the kid that came out, I feel like that was really cool with the Play 60. But, like, I was never really, like, a Super Bowl, like, commercial person.
1 minute for a commercial was $10 million, and for a 30-second commercial was $5 million. So, definitely, if you can afford it.
That's a lot of money.
You get a lot of eyeballs. So, anyways, Kailu Borden, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Kobe Bryant?
They can reach me at Kailu Borden 12 on Twitter and also on Instagram.
Instagram, Kailu Borden 12. And you can reach us at thesportscast.net for all the latest news. And on Twitter at thesportscast1. NFL football is done. Now we head into the XFL, NBA, and some Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball, a few more weeks. But NBA is still stroll. XFL, I'm not sure if Kailu's going to follow XFL this year.
I was never really an XFL fan. I normally, like, take a break and get ready for, like, March Madness, spring training, that type of stuff.
Exactly.
Mock drafts, you're going to see a lot of those.
Yes, mock draft is definitely – of course, Joe Burrow is still number one, and the question is, where's Tua's going? Where's Justin Herbert? Things like that. Chase Young, a lot of that in the mix, but we'll definitely see things flesh out through these next couple of weeks and months. XFL starts this weekend. Justin Riley will be following the XFL this year. We'll see if any potential player from there could go to the NFL, because a lot of things have happened last year when the Lions football happened and a few players got signed. So really excited to see another league and some potentiality for players to have a second chance, because some players, you know, they been to the NFL, got drafted, but things just didn't pan out, or they didn't make it into the NFL, but they had the XFL have a opportunity to see what they can do in the game of football. Anyways, Kailu Borden, always a pleasure. Have a good night.
Thank you.